Father, today we acknowledge that indeed nobody is greater than you. That indeed nobody is bigger than you. That nobody is stronger than you. And no one can do the things you do. We crown you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The power over powers. The God of all flesh. And this morning, we thank you for your presence. And we ask for mighty visitation of God through the preaching and teaching of your word. Encourage us this morning. May our eyes be open, O God, to the truth. May the word of God heal and deliver in the name of Jesus. May we not leave here the same, Lord. Bless us and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. And everybody shouts and says, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. Wow. Now, this is the beginning of the year still. Amen. I think this is the third Sunday of January. Amen. And we're still beginning. You know, sometimes the beginning is a process, it's a phase. Amen. And I believe that the process of entering the new year is continuing. Amen. And in our church, we set aside a time of fasting and prayer at the beginning of every year just to wait upon the Lord and get some stuff under control. Hallelujah. Because this is a new year. It is one of the reasons why it's called a new year. Because it's a new place. It's a new era. It's a new segment of the journey of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's filled, as with all new things, with lots of unknowns. Hallelujah. It's filled with lots of unknowns. Many things that we do not know. But we serve a God who knows the end from the beginning. Amen. We serve a God who knows all things. And it is important that at the beginning of your year, you set time aside and wait on the Lord and commit the year into the Lord's hand. The Bible actually says, if we commit our ways to the Lord and trust in Him, then He will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He says He will bring it to pass. So it is very important that we all partake in this exercise. And I want to encourage all of you to get involved. Amen. Amen. Whoever you are. Even if you're not a member of our church, you don't have to be a member of a church to fast. Amen. So it's. I just want to recommend it highly to you. Amen. There will be a lot of time in the year to eat. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so sometimes if you can pause eating now, if you can put a pause on eating now, you know, you might actually save yourself from having to pause later. Do you see what I'm saying? Because there can easily, because of your lack of prayer, and because you didn't wait on the Lord and commit things into the hand of the Lord a certain way, you can easily find yourself in the midst of circumstances that naturally make you not want to eat. This time, not for prayer. Do you see? You've lost appetite. You don't want to eat. But it is not because you're praying, but because things are such that you just can't eat. You see, or as the case may be, you don't have anything to eat. You see what I'm saying? Because of the way the whole situation has gone, you can easily forfeit everything. So I just want to encourage all of us to participate in this fast. And during this time, we're waking up early in the morning. very early in the morning, and we're praying from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. every day. You know, and it's been really powerful, I tell you. Even some people are surprised they can wake up at that time and still function, you know. They're surprised. But I tell you that it's a great time to pray. It's a time when you're praying at 3 a.m., you're not going to get a phone call. Even the ones who are likely to call you are actually also on the prayer line, you see. And nobody calls you. There are no text messages. There's no interruption. And it's just you and the Lord. And so it's a really good time to pray. Amen. And I want to encourage all of you to participate. I mean, every one of you is invited to join this prayer time. And I'm sure the phone number will come on the screen at some point. Amen. And while we're doing that, we're praying and we're studying this book, Demons and How to Sort Them Out. How to smash them and how to deal with them. Hallelujah. It's a really powerful book, interesting book, and we have copies for everyone today because we're going to be studying it, we're going to be praying from it, and we're going to be learning more about demons. Amen. Now, when you're fighting an enemy, it's important to learn about the enemy. It's important to study the enemy. It's important to understand the operations of the enemy. Do you understand? In order to know how to defeat him effectively. All right? Many times you think you have the enemy under control, but you really don't understand even the scope of his operations. And therefore, bombing out one little place usually means nothing. You see, because he erupts in other places. And so it's important to understand your enemy and know exactly what he's about, where to find him. Do you understand? Yeah. And that's what we're doing. So this book exposes him a lot, and we're going to be studying that. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. But before I get into my message, I want us to go with our memory verse, our Bible verse. This year, every week, we have a verse to memorize. Amen. And how many are enjoying it so far? Are you enjoying the Bible verses? Right. So today, or this week's verse, is from Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 10 and the verse number is 16. It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Hallelujah. Right? So in this verse, the Lord mentions four animals. Sheep, wolves, serpents, doves. Okay. And he is recommending that you be as the sheep and the doves, isn't it? The other two are dangerous animals, wolves and serpents. Amen. So he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew chapter 16 and 10 verse 16. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Am I blocking your view of the screen? Okay. All right. So why don't we just say it together a number of times. Let's say it twice. And then after that, we'll say it without the screen. All right. The way we do it is we name the address. Then we say the verse. And then we conclude with the address. Okay. So 1, 2, 3, go. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16. One more time. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Amen. Matthew 10:16. All right. Now, one more time. One last time. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16. All right. Can you take it off and let's see if we can do it without it? Matthew 10:16. 3, go. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16. One more time. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16. Wow. Is it good? Aren't you impressed with yourself? Try it one last time. One last time. Make sure your neighbor is saying, check with your neighbor and say, hey, I'm not hearing you. I need to hear you on this particular verse. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's try it again. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16. Right. Who remembers the other two? Matthew 5:16, right? Matthew 5. Let's try that. 1, 2, 3, go. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory. All right. I was going to say, and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. All right. Okay. So Matthew 5:16. What about Matthew 6:33? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6. All right. So let's use the same version, okay, to memorize these things so we don't get confused. Do you understand? So Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. That's a very powerful verse. Hallelujah. It says all these things will be added unto you. God intends to add some things onto your life as you seek him. Hallelujah. There are some things you're not supposed to be following. You are just supposed to leave them to God. They are additions to your life. Hallelujah. They will not come to you because you pursued them. They will come to you because you pursued God. And God just adds them onto you as add-ons because you pursued him. It is your reward for seeking him. It is your reward for loving him. It is your reward for serving him. God will just add it unto you. Hallelujah. Did you see it? It says all these things will be added unto you. God will add some things to you. If I were you, I'll go home and find what things are supposed to be added to me. Amen. It helps to know which guests you are expecting. What things has God promised to add to your life? And expect them. And when you go reading that, you're going to find out that the things God intends to add to you, what you will eat, what you will wear, where you will live, it must, of course, include what you will drive. Wow. Hallelujah. Wow. God will add them unto you. God will add them unto you. God will supernaturally provide for your needs as you seek him. It says, when you seek him, seek ye first. Amen. God wants you to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Make God and serving him important to you. And the Bible says all these things will be added unto you. If you don't seek God, you're going to end up having to seek those things. And the more you seek those things, the further you will go away from God. The further you are for God, the greater your need will be to seek those things even more. So you plunge yourself into a cycle of pursuing these things, and your life soon becomes just about these things. And it is only when you have done it for a long time that you start to see the senselessness of it all. It's like you live to earn to pay for your living, to earn to pay for living, so you can have a place to rest and go to work to pay for the resting place from working. You get it? Because you need to rest from working, and you need to work to pay for the rest from working. You know? And you start to see that it doesn't make sense. Your whole life is messed up. There is no meaning. Do you understand? You're in this cycle. You're just living to pay for living. Do you see? You're just living to pay for living. And that's not what God has for us. That's not God's best for you. Hallelujah. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. So let's continue and talk about demons and how to deal with them, right? And our key scripture is Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and from verse 1. Let's read all the way through to verse 20. Mark chapter 5 from verse 1. And we're going to read all the way through to verse 20. It says, well, you find it first and then you found it. Okay, so Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when, why don't we read it together, everybody? 1, 2, 3, go, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Yeah, verse 6. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of that country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Let's continue, verse 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Hallelujah. Wow. Clap for yourselves. Amen. Right. So this is the story of a man who had devils. A man who had and was filled with demons. Hallelujah. Now this verse or this passage is showing us an extreme case of demonic possession. It's showing us what happens, you know, when the devil has ultimate control over a human being. When the demons take charge completely over a person, you know, what the demons do or can do with a person's life. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at the end, because by the time we meet the man, he already has the spirits. So he's already in a bad situation. So it is not until you read to the end, and that's why I wanted us to read all the way to the end. It is not until you read to the end of the story that you begin to see what kind of person he was. Do you understand? Or what kind of person he could have been if it wasn't for the demons and the evil spirits plaguing and destroying his life. Hallelujah. The Bible says when we meet the man, he is naked. His clothes are off. He's living somewhere. He's in the tombs and in so many different places just doing whatever he's doing over there. Isn't it? Then he meets Jesus. The demons are removed from his life. And then the conclusion, the Bible says, even the people who knew him were surprised. Because one of the first things they saw was that the man had his clothes back on. And he was sitting in one place. And he was in his right mind. Do you see what I'm saying? It says the man had his clothes on. He was sitting in one place. And now he was thinking correctly. So it means demons even influence people's thoughts, isn't it? Demons influence our thinking. Demons influence our thoughts. And you may sometimes be thinking a certain way and be so sure about it, but you don't know that it's an evil spirit that is giving you a certain idea. Hallelujah. And so in the end, the Bible says, he wanted to be with Jesus, verse 19. And Jesus said to him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Amen. When we meet the man, he has no friends. He's alone. He's alone in the cemetery and with the tombs and all by himself over there. No friends. But now Jesus says he should go home to his friends and share with his friends what the Lord has done for him. And he departed and actually began to preach in Decapolis. Decapolis means 10. Decapolis means 10 cities, isn't it? 10 downtown areas, right? Polis means metropolis. That's you know, it's a city kind of word, right? And the man went to a place where, you know, sometimes you can have twin cities. This is 10 cities together. And the guy became a preacher. Do you understand? So all along, the guy had the potential to be a preacher. But demons were sitting on that potential. They had hijacked that destiny and had turned the man into someone who fellowshipped around dead bodies. Someone who fellowshipped around places where dead people were kept. Do you see? So sometimes when you see someone with a certain life, you need to be able to look at his life without evil spirits to see what God could have for this person. Do you understand? Yeah. To see what is in the future and what is in the destiny of this person. But his life has been hijacked by evil spirits and he's not able to be who God has created him to be. He says, and all men did marvel. You know, and this is the part that I love. It says, all men did marvel. The people were shocked. Hallelujah. When you start to live the life that God has purposed for you, people will be shocked. People will be shocked. Your friends will be shocked. Everybody will be surprised. Hallelujah. Many of us are hiding surprises because demons have actually taken over their influence in various aspects of our lives, prevent us from shining like God intends for us to shine. Hallelujah. But during these few days, as we go through the fast and as we study this material, any demon that has hijacked any aspect of your life is going to have no choice but to let it go in the name of Jesus. They're going to have to let go of your life in the name of Jesus, because we are lighting up a fire in the name of Jesus over them. That's why you need to join the prayers. Amen. To join the prayers is very going to be very, very powerful. Hallelujah. Right. So today I want us to study. Let's go to the, you can take your book with me. We're just basically going to follow the book and it's going to be our study guide. Amen. Right. And chapter four, the commonest sign of demonic activity. The commonest sign of demonic activity. Now it says in verse 5, Mark chapter 5 and verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. Amen. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. The madman of Gadara was led by demons to roam through lonely mountains and graveyards. This frightening scenario made the poor man cry constantly. You can see from this that demons love to frighten their victims. Fear is a pervading sign of the presence of demons and evil spirits. Hallelujah. Now, this man was taken to the cemetery. You know, people, normal people don't try to live inside a cemetery. Do you understand? One brother was telling me recently, a certain brother, he recently went to rent a place, rent a room or, you know, an apartment, you know, in a place. And he said to me that, you know, the guy he rented the place from did not tell him that right across from the apartment is a cemetery. Wow. All you see is just a very high wall with some, I think, some kind of security wires or so on top of it. Wow. And that's, you know, you don't know what is behind there. Do you see? And he was just thinking that probably if he had known there's a cemetery there, you know, he wouldn't like to live across from the cemetery. Do you understand? Now, that's not living inside the cemetery. Just across from it, he just doesn't want his home by a cemetery. Do you understand? So here you are. You have someone who doesn't even want to live in the neighborhood of a cemetery. How much more someone who finds himself living inside? I tell you. Inside the cemetery. Do you see? But we know from the scripture that the evil spirits had driven the man to that place. It is the evil spirits that took him to that place. Because as soon as the spirits left him, he was no longer in a cemetery. The first sign, in fact, the people who knew him, one of the ways they knew that something had changed with the guy was when they started to see him in town. When they started to see him around. When they found out that this man all along could actually sit down in one place. Before, he couldn't sit down in one place. He says, always night and day, he was in the tombs. You couldn't find him, you know. But as soon as the evil spirits left his life, He left the cemetery. He left that place. So it is the evil spirits that drove him to that place, the frightening place. They drove him to a place of fear. They drove him to a place and continued to frighten him the whole time. You know, because you see how it feels sometimes when you're alone in a place. Yeah, I've been to a place to pray before all by myself and I ran away. You know, yeah, I once went to a certain place to pray. I mean, I'd gone there to go and pray. But while I was there, you know, I mean, I was alone. And then, as I was praying, I began to, you know, like hear some sounds. I don't know if they were real or my imagination. But, you know, after a while, I realized the prayer was not working. I could not even concentrate on what I came there to do. I was so frightened, you know. I mean, today when I look back, I see that the devil just drove me out of the place. He knew that I had come there to pray and take care of issues, and he just, you know, just frightened me out of that place, you know. But I was really scared. I was scared because I was there all by myself. I don't even know what I was scared of, but it just had some very funny, eerie feeling about the place, and I didn't want to be there at all. Said, no, this prayer is not going to work here, you know, because I was praying by watching my back every time, and I was hearing these sounds and feeling these movements. I said, no, I'm not going to be here. And I was totally gone, you know. So this madman in the tombs, I am sure that he was very scared. I mean, he was crying. He probably didn't like to be there, but couldn't help being there. Do you see? It's like you lift up a child. You lift up a child and you set him up here. He doesn't want to be here, but he can't help but be here because he can't get himself away from here. The person who has to lift her up and put her down or set her in another place from where she doesn't want to be will not do that. That person wants her to be here. And she's frightened. This height scares her. But she has no choice but to be here. So what will the child start to do? The child starts to cry. She'll start to cry. That's the only thing she can do. And the Bible says, always, night and day, the man was crying. He was crying all the time in that place. He must have been very frightened. It's a place of fear. Hallelujah. Now you will find, according to the scriptures, that fear does not come from God. Hallelujah. Fear does not come from God. Fear puts us in bondage, right? Hebrews 2:15 says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, the devil uses fear to keep us in bondage. If you read that verse, let's read Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15 together. It says, for as much then, look, if you look right across your page on page 15, you'll see that same scripture quoted there, and we can read it together. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Hallelujah. So Jesus died to destroy the devil. Amen. Do you understand? You see, what he's saying is that the children of God live in flesh and blood. We are all partakers of the human, you know, body or the human form of existence, isn't it? Right. And so he himself likewise took part of the same. Wow. He became a human being. And then he died as a human being so that he would destroy him that had the power of death. Do you understand? You know how Jesus died and then he rose again from the dead to overcome death. To show us that he had power over dying. Do you understand? Yeah. And the Bible says he did that. He did that to conquer the one who had the ultimate power to make people die. Wow. And he names that person, he says, the devil. Do you understand? And thereby deliver them who through fear of death. So he would deliver people who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. So the devil uses fear to hijack people's lives. The devil uses what you are afraid of to hijack your life and to keep you in bondage. Hallelujah. But the good news is that God has not given us a spirit of fear. The good news is that when you are afraid, you have to understand that fear is a spirit that is not from God. Often we think of fear as, you know, maybe a state of mind or a mood or a kind of emotional disposition. It's just a state. Do you understand? And most of us do not think of fear as implying that a spirit from hell is attacking you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. That we do not realize that a spirit has been released to torment us. Sometimes when you watch the news, especially in recent times, when you watch the news, it's so disturbing. Do you understand? And I don't know if some of you are beginning to feel a sense of fear. You know, in the time that we live, you know, there is a sense of fear that is all over the place. Because every day you are hearing about some shooting. Every day you are hearing about some people took guns, they shot some people somewhere. And we are hearing these things all the time. And it is putting the whole system into a state of fear. It's putting everybody under a spell of fear. And everybody is afraid. Everybody is watching their back all the time. That is the enemy's ultimate goal. His goal is to make us all afraid. His goal is to make us all afraid. That is why you need to watch how you watch the news. Because a lot of us are into the news all the time. We're glued to the TV. We're always tracking what's going on and watching these things. And thereby we're allowing, through what we hear, the spirit of fear to enter us and to cause us to be afraid of many, many more things. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Can I have an amen? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. And read it with me. 1, 2, 3, go. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Say it again. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. One more time. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can I have an amen? Say it with me and put your name there instead of us. Say, God has not given me. Say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Say it again. 1, 2, 3, go. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. One more time. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. Evil spirits constantly minister fear. That is why Jesus said often to people, fear not. You know, before Jesus would heal people, before he would even address whatever their issues were, he would calm them down and say, fear not. That's like telling the devil, get out of here. Fear not. Hallelujah. When demons have their way in your life, you will be afraid. The whole human race, you know, they will minister fear about every conceivable thing to you. The whole human race is subject to diverse fears. Fear of sickness, fear of death, fear of tragedy, fear of witches, fear of the night, fear of divorce, and the list goes on and on. Everybody has something they're afraid of. As a matter of fact, after you've been blessed, then you spend the rest of your life in fear of losing the blessing. Is it not true? Yeah. After people have prayed to be blessed with a marriage, to be blessed with a child. I mean, that is one of the common ones. I tell you, after people have been blessed with children, Then the next thing is fear of losing those children. And you just think about it. That alone gives the devil a lifetime advantage over you. Because the children are going to be around for a long time. I mean, children are permanent. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So your fear of losing them is the enemy's way of dipping his hand into your life and becoming a permanent feature in your life. I mean, for as long as the kids are around. Not that if he has the chance, he would not do anything with the kids. If he gets the chance, he would like to do what you are afraid of. But the truth is that we are not supposed to live our lives in fear. Hallelujah. God did not bless us with children for us to be afraid and to live in constant fear of losing them. God did not bless you with a marriage for you to live in constant fear of losing it. Do you understand? We cannot be afraid all the time of sickness. You cannot be afraid of cancer. You cannot be afraid of cancer. Anytime you hear the story of someone who's been sick, you know, often in a silent way, you start to imagine, what if it was you? Is it not true? Yeah, you secretly ask yourself, you know, what if it was me? I mean, what if it is me? I mean, is it possible that one day you would wake up with a similar story, you know, and you hear the stories of people's lives and so on, and then we import all of that into our lives and we start to live in fear of those things. But God is delivering us from everything that frightens us in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, when people are born again, they find it difficult to trust in anything good initially. Yeah. There's a fear of the church. There's a fear of pastors. The fear of the ministry. The fear of disappointment. The ability to walk by faith is the ability to walk free of the fears that plague all of us. Amen. The demon which controlled the madman of Gadara took him into a frightening and lonely place that normal human beings would be scared to visit. This is where the devil had taken the man. Are you reading your book? Yeah. This is where the devil had taken the man. You can see this from the testimony that because the devil was in control, he placed the madman in a frightening location. As long as the devil was in control, he kept the man in a place of fear. When demons are in control of your life, you will be afraid of many things. Perhaps the devil is giving you frightening pictures to scare you. That is what he did to the madman of Gadara. Through fear, Satan keeps many people in bondage. Hallelujah. Through fear, Satan keeps people in bondage. He keeps people in bondage through fear. I remember, I don't know if it was one of our kids or some kid I saw somewhere. But I do remember one time a kid who fell asleep and had a dream and felt there was a lion. I think it was one of our kids. They felt there was a lion under the bed. Yeah. And it was Jason. Yeah. And he wouldn't come down. Do you get it? Yeah. He wouldn't come down. It was a bunk bed. And I think it was at the top. Yeah. It's like there's something under there. Do you get it? Yeah. And that's what the devil does to many of us. Wow. He keeps you up there in a certain place. You see what I'm saying? On the top of the bunk bed. And you are supposed to spend your whole life on top of the bunk bed. When there's a whole house waiting for you. But he confines you to that little place at the top there. And he floods your thoughts with imaginary situations. Do you understand? Yeah. And I've seen people with all those kinds of fears. So many things they just can't do. Do you understand? Ranging from driving to eating to living in a certain place or studying a certain course or working in a certain place or even being in a certain relationship. You understand? They're just so scared. You're so scared. And your whole life has been confined to the top of the bunk bed right there. When the whole White House is just waiting for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? God has a whole White House waiting for you. You cannot allow fear to confine you to the top of a bunk bed in one small room in that house. I remember when you tried to carry him, come down, then he would lean over and look down there. So there's something there. And he wouldn't come down. You are being liberated from every fear in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You are being liberated from anything that makes you scared. Hallelujah. Right. He says, three effects of the demon of fear. I'm reading from page 16 now. Three effects of the demon of fear. There are three effects of the demon of fear. Okay. Number one is a sound mind is taken away. Now we read 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 that says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and the spirit of power and the spirit of a sound mind to replace the spirit of fear. Therefore, people with the spirit of fear are unable to love. They do not have power and do not have sound minds, right? So the first thing the devil takes away from you when you are afraid is a sound mind. When you are possessed with fear, you behave abnormally. Hallelujah. I remember one day I went to a harbor with a group of children to visit a ship. Unfortunately, one of the children was so scared of the ships. She screamed and screamed and refused to get out of the car. In the end, we had to leave her in the car with someone attending to her. The child was totally controlled by the fear of ships. In a sense, this child looked abnormal in relation to the other children. The others were happy and excited about the excursion, but she was unhappy and paralyzed by fear. This is what happens to us when we are controlled by fear. Fear makes us become queer and live abnormal lives. Evil spirits of fear control many women. They are unable to marry because they fear disappointment and the control that comes through marriage. Women who are not controlled by these fears marry easily. Others watch from afar and wonder how anyone can enter into such an arrangement. What a shock. Amen. Hallelujah. Is it true what we are reading? Yeah. That a lot of people are afraid. And some people are actually afraid of getting married. In fact, some people are afraid of getting divorced. So they would rather not marry. But they'll be with you. They don't mind living with you. Do you see? But they live in such a high anticipation of divorce that they do not find it necessary to marry the person. Yeah. Yeah, and they can live with the person even for 20 years. So as long as we're not married, it will work. But as soon as we marry, something bad is going to happen. You see, so let's keep ourselves within it by not getting married. You know, it is a fear that is controlling their lives. And you start to behave in a queer way when you are afraid. When people are afraid, I tell you, even a grown-up can start to behave like a child. Yeah, a grown-up can start behaving like a child. One day, I was flying on a plane. And I had gone to Ghana, to Accra. And we were taking off from Accra to come to Amsterdam, you know, and on. Then, you know, everything was normal until the plane took off. As soon as the plane took off, then there was this lady. Wow. She said she's not going anymore. said, no way, she's not going. Hey, how are you going to get KLM to come and drop this woman off in Accra? The plane had just lifted off the ground. I mean, it was her first time on the plane, but it just lifted off the ground. And the lady said, no way, I'm not going. Hey, you know, and that's the point where everybody is supposed to be seated. She took off her seat belt and she got up, you know, and I don't know where she was going, but she started walking towards the front of the plane, you know, and this lady wanted to get off the, I don't know what she was trying to do. So the flight attendants had to get up, you know, and they came to restrain her. The lady was screaming. She said, I want to go. I want to go back. I want to go back, you know. And what's interesting is she had walked. She was sitting maybe about three or four seats or four rows behind me. And then she had walked up to my seat. And when she got there, then she sat down. So, and you know, I had that seat. There were two empty seats next to me. I was looking forward to just, I was expecting that as soon as the plane takes off, I'm just possessing all this land. And then she came to sit right here and she grabbed me. I said, this thing is not going to be easy. She grabbed me. I mean, of all people on the plane, I don't know. She grabbed me, you know, and she was just, then at a point, her clothes started to come off. I tell you, fear. It will make you behave like a crazy person. Yeah. Grown up person, you know. So they brought some medicine. I think they have some tablets on the plane and they gave her something to take. And she took it and she became very calm. And she sort of rested a little bit, you know. But even then, somewhere in the middle of the flight, she woke up again. And I asked her, so where is she going? She said she was going to Finland. She was going to visit her brother in Finland. So she was actually going to land in Amsterdam and need another flight to go on. So I was just thinking, what are you going to do? When you get to Amsterdam, you're going to have to come back to Accra or to continue. Hey, it was not easy. And you see, and she told me she was a school teacher. So you just imagine of any of the teachers who have been teaching you. Fear can make a normal person look like a crazy person. And you are quite a queer behavior. And you don't even realize you're queer. You don't realize you're different. You don't realize the way you walk has changed because of what you're afraid of. You don't realize that the way you talk has changed because of what you're afraid of. You don't realize sometimes some people are afraid. They are just afraid of being broke. Yes, that's it. Your fear is the fear of being broke. That is it. You get it. And that fear of being broke can capture your life and turn you into a very mean, stingy person. You know, even just a few days ago, I was talking to somebody who was saying that he didn't have money. So he was, you know, part of my job is to counsel people. So I was just counseling the person. And then he started to let me into his money. He started to explain why he doesn't have money. He was explaining, you know, I have this amount here, and I have this amount here, and I have this amount here. I was just thinking, this guy is richer than me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So this guy is richer than me. He was telling me how much he has here and how much he has here and how much he has here. And so if I do this, then I do this, I'm going to have to take this amount from here. And I was just thinking, wow, you have this here and you have this here, you have this here. But you are living in fear. You get it? You are living in fear that if I touch it, it will finish.
You see, and that has made you into a queer person, but you don't know. You don't know that you are queer. You don't know that, you know, sometimes you see some of these people, they are afraid that the money will finish. So you see even what they are eating. You go to the grocery store and you're buying the bananas and you're buying the black ones. Because they have reduced those ones. The price is, instead of 69 cents a pound, those are like 20 cents a pound. So you're eating rotten bananas. And then you say, oh, that's how I like them. But that's not how you like them. A certain fear. Fear of your money running out. Fear of being broke. When you are nowhere near it. You are nowhere near that at all. But that fear has come upon you. And demons are actually controlling your life. And have turned you into a queer, mean person. And you don't even realize it. I see God setting you free in the name of Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So a sound mind. Look at it. Bishop says, I remember a beautiful Christian lady whose parents divorced when she was about 12 years old. It seems that experience had so traumatized her as a little girl that she could not get married. Several handsome, responsible, and spiritual young men wanted to marry this young woman, but she repeatedly turned them away. She would enter into relationships with these brothers only to break up without any substantial reason. He said, one day I asked her why she had broken up with a certain handsome man of God. She could not give any concrete reason. When I told her that she was suffering from fear and pride, she got angry with me. From that time, I was not able to speak to her about marriage. The last I heard of her, she was unmarried and approaching her menopause. It is only fear that makes a young, beautiful girl abnormal relative to other ladies. I'm not saying that it is abnormal not to marry, but relative to most of the other girls in her age group, this lady was a little strange. Fear takes away the soundness of your mind. Fear can turn you into a mad person. Fear can drive you along a queer road and no one will understand your behavior. When the Spirit of God is upon you, fear will leave. The frightening things we see around us will not govern us anymore. Hallelujah. The frightening things we see around us will not govern us anymore. As long as we live in this world, we are going to hear bad stories. We're going to hear and even see some things. Things are going to happen to people you know. You're going to hear things. You're going to see things. But you must use faith to drive those things away from you. Hallelujah. Your fear makes them stick. But your faith repels them. Your faith drives them away. Hallelujah. You think of the bad stories I have heard as a pastor. Think about it. I mean, my job is to work with human beings. You see, a pastor's job is a people job. Your job is to be with sheep. I mean, if I was a shepherd with animals, sheep, you can imagine that I would have a lot of experiences. I'll see sheep that are falling into a trench. I'll see sheep that have been eaten by a wolf. I'll see sheep that have broken their legs. I'll see sheep that had babies and the babies died. I'll see it's all kinds of things you will see. That's the same thing. When you're a pastor, you're with people, you see and hear a lot of things. So imagine if every bad story I hear sticks to me. I mean, what kind of life do you think I would have? Yeah. You'd be suspicious of everybody. You'd be afraid of everyone. You always be scared. You wake up every day thinking you are dying today. Yeah. Because when you start to talk to people, and some people like to, you know, take the story all the way back. And they start to explain how they came, the journey to where they are. You see, and as they are talking, you can see yourself at different spots of the journey. You ask yourself, are you also on the same journey? Do you understand? That means what you're looking at, is that about to happen to you also? God will deliver you in the name of Jesus. Do not let fear control your life. God will deliver you. Hallelujah. You're going to read the newspapers, you know, and you're going to read magazines and read the tabloids and hear about stories. And anytime you read a story, if there's any similarity, if you have anything in common with anything in the story, from that point on, you attach yourself to the story and it starts to travel with you. And that is how many people destroy good things that God has given them. Many people destroy a good relationship that God has given you. You destroy it with fear. You see, one of the things fear destroys is love. The Bible says there is no fear in love. Look across the page, page 19. It says, love is destroyed by fear. That's point number three. Love is destroyed by fear. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Hallelujah. Fear destroys a lot of legitimate relationships. Fear will destroy the love that you have for your beloved. Fear will destroy the love that you have for your spouse. Because you are afraid, you become like a, Bishop says, a prison warden. You imprison the other person with your fear. They can't talk to anybody. They can't relate with anybody. They cannot sit down with anybody. They can't chat with anybody. And it's all because of your fear. Do you understand? Fear is making you into somebody who is not even nice to relate with anymore. Do you understand? You're not nice to relate with anymore because you're always afraid. You only see bad things in everything. But it is actually the devil. The devil is trying to strip you of a blessing that God has given you. Sometimes you see someone has a very good person in their lives. Very good person. Very good person that God has placed in your life. And you use your fear and your insecurity to turn that person into a monster. To turn them, you sort of create a caricature out of them. And then you start running away from your own creation. Have you ever put something somewhere, you forgot you put it there and come back running away from the same thing? You put it there yourself. And that's what we do. We make an image, something, and then we go back and look at it and we turn around and start running away from something that we made ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. You will no longer live in fear. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Then number two, it says fear, powerlessness is produced by fear. When fear gets a hold of you, you become immobilized and unable to do the things God tells you to do. When I was beginning the ministry, I was afraid that it won't work. Fear takes away strength. What about if it doesn't work? What if she dies? What if he gets cancer? What about if she is barren? There are many things to fear. These fears paralyze you and make you unable to do the will of God. Go in the opposite direction to where fear is leading you. Amen. That is how to overcome fear. Do the opposite of your fears. I know that fear is an evil spirit. I must not be controlled by an evil spirit. Say amen. Amen. Go in the opposite direction of your fears. I mean, sometimes when you watch, even on these talk shows and so on, you see them bringing experts to help people overcome certain phobias. One of the nice nicknames of fear is a phobia. That's fear's middle name. You know, and you see people who have a phobia, they say they have a phobia for elevators, they have a phobia for maybe animals, snakes, and so on, so many different things. The way they help the people to overcome the fear is to put them in the exact situation they are afraid of. So if someone can't get in an elevator by themselves, they help them to overcome the fear. They bring these experts like Dr. Phil.
You know, and they bring some of these guys to help these people overcome the fears. And guess what they do? They take you right into the situation you are afraid of. You know, because you need to do exactly what you are afraid of. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to do exactly what you are afraid of. You need to go in the exact opposite direction of what you are afraid to do. Hallelujah. And that is how you are able to gain control over your fears. If you are afraid of trusting, trust. Decide, take a decision to trust. Amen. Because your lack of trust is ruining everything you have. So if you are afraid of trusting, trust. Amen? If you are afraid of spending, spend. Yeah. You are afraid of spending. So spend some money. Yeah. As you are spending, you are crying, but spend it anyway. Yeah, yeah, just go out and buy yourself something. Buy yourself something. And be liberated. Be liberated. Can I have an amen? Amen. Be liberated from the fears and the things that hijack us. I believe that God promised us abundant life. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God promises us abundant life, and the enemy hijacks that life. One of the tools he uses to do that is our fears. But we are breaking out of it. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This week, as you pray, pray against the things you are afraid of. Amen. You know, be honest. Just be honest. Overcoming things requires honesty. Yeah. Yeah. Do you understand? You have to be honest and humble and admit that I have fear of this. Do you understand? And name it. Write that thing down. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. And I'm afraid of that and that. And as we pray this week, we're going to confront those fears. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're going to throw your missiles directly at the thing you're afraid of. You're going to throw your fire and throw your prayers, direct them at the very thing you're afraid of. Hallelujah. You're afraid of unemployment. Begin to pray against unemployment. Do you understand? Begin to pray against unemployment instead of being quiet about it and secretly harboring a fear of this particular thing and allowing it to govern your life and govern your moves and govern your decisions and direct your life in a very subtle way. And only you know you are being led by your fears. Even you sometimes don't realize it, that this is why you're doing this. Hallelujah. This is why you're doing this. Sometimes you're trying to avoid something you have seen. You know, something you've seen happen to another person. And you are trying to avoid that. You see, and because you're trying to avoid that, you have become a certain way. You see, you have become a certain way. And you don't realize it. But this week, our prayers are going to be directed at our fears. Can I have an amen? Amen. This is the week that you defeat fear. This is the week that fear loses its grip over your life. The fear of sickness, the fear of cancer, the fear of sudden death, the fear of the death of your children, your fear of accidents, your fear of flying, your fear of driving, your fear of having nothing, your fear of failing. This is the week that you overcome that fear. In the name of Jesus. I said, this is the week that you overcome that fear. In the name of Jesus. Your fear of your beloved cheating on you. Your fear of your husband cheating on you. Your fear of your spouse just walking away one day. This is the week for overcoming that fear. In the name of Jesus. It will never happen to you. I said, it will never happen to you. It will never happen to you. In the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. You will no longer cry because of what you are afraid of. The madman was crying. I tell you, as we go on this journey through this book, you will be blessed. Amen. And I want you to take it home. Just bring it back next week. Carry it with you. This is going to be next to your Bible this whole week. Amen. So when you're ready to come to church, you grab your book and you grab your Bible and you come with the two. Amen. We're going to continue studying so many different aspects. And I want you to read it. Read it on your own before you come to church. So that when I start reading, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is the month where you know your pastor's sermon in advance. Do you understand? Yeah, it doesn't mean you shouldn't come to church. But this is the month that you have the message with you. And I want you to read it and pray about it. And I believe that God is going to help us greatly this week. Come on, close your eyes, everybody, and just begin to pray. Just take 2 moments. Just pray. I am sure that some things already are occurring to you. There are some things you already have in mind. Things you are afraid of. Things you are afraid of. Something you have always been afraid of. Today the Lord is saying that this is the time to end that fear. You don't have to. He says those who through the fear of death have had their lives subjected to bondage. They've had their lives subjected to bondage. They've lived on the top of the bunk bed. Instead of getting off the bunk bed and starting to live in the whole wide house, they are confined to that little bed because of their fears. But God is delivering you today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh yes. The power of God is setting you free today. The power of God is setting you free today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pray against the fear of sickness. Pray against the fear of running out of money. Pray against the fear of being fired on your job. Pray against the fear of having nothing. The fear of no one getting married to you. The fear of no one choosing you. The fear of your children dying. The fear of your children not serving God. Pray against that fear right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Makaboro mushaka fala bala bala baba ha. Imala bala 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 mashaka fala baba ha. Bala 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 baba. Imolo musa bala mo shoko tori ala baba ya loro sataria. Ikanda bala baba mo sheteli bakanda la baba. We rebuke the spirit of fear. We rebuke the spirit of fear. We rebuke the spirit of fear and his influence in our lives. In the name of Jesus. We will not live in fear. We will not walk in fear. We will not walk in fear. We will not walk in fear. In the name of Jesus. We will not be afraid of terrorists. We will not walk in fear of getting shot. We will not walk in fear of our schools being attacked. We will not live in fear of our homes being invaded. We will not live in fear of unemployment. We will not live in fear of contracting a disease. We will not live in fear of getting cancer. In the name of Jesus, we will not be afraid of dying young. We will not be afraid of dying young. No. In the name of Jesus. Makaboro mushatari arababaha. Makamolo mosotori alababa. Ilalolo seteli makandari alababa yababa. Imolo shekebele makandari alababa. Ikorobolo bala masakaba. Inolo moseteli bele 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 bele. Oh yes Lord. Yes Lord. Yes Lord. Yes Lord. Yes Lord. Yes, Lord. Mashaka fara bala baba. Hey, makafara bala baba bala baba. Ikolo setele bala baba. We will not live in fear of losing the good things in our lives, the good people in our lives. We will not live in fear. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Say with me, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Place your hand on your chest and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. I do not have a spirit of fear. Say, fear will not govern my life anymore. I am not afraid anymore. I am not afraid anymore. God is on my side. God will maintain my lot. God will look after my interests. God will look out for me. I am not afraid anymore. I shall not be afraid. I will not be afraid of getting sick. I will not be afraid of cancer. I am not afraid of divorce. I am not afraid of dying. I will not die in a car accident. I will not die in a plane crash. I am not afraid of losing my job. I'm not afraid of the future. I'm not afraid of growing older. I am not afraid of growing older. God will look after me. God will look after me. Thank you, Jesus. Clap your hands and give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so grateful to you today for your blessing. Thank you for the word of God. The word that is able to deliver us. The Bible says you sent forth your word and you healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh God, fear is destroying many things. Fear has sought to destroy our marriages. Fear has sought to destroy even our enjoyment of the things you have given us. Our enjoyment of our children. Our enjoyment of our relationships. Our enjoyment of the good people you have surrounded us with. Our enjoyment of our churches. Fear has sought to take that from us. But today is a day of restoration. Today is a day of taking back what the enemy stole from us. Today is a day of taking back what the enemy stole from us. We are not afraid of the future. We are not afraid of failure. We are not afraid of repeating the evil things we saw. The evil things in our families. The evil things we saw in our families. The evil things we saw growing up. The things that have been so etched in our memories and our consciousness that we can't help but imagine and claim and draw closer and closer to such things. Our thoughts about our future are so cluttered with so many little fears. But Lord, today we step out of that fear. We take that step out of it in the name of Jesus. Today is the day that we walk out of that prison. Today is the day that we get off that bunk bed. Today is the day that we begin to live in the White House. That everything that you have prepared for us, everything that you have planned for us, everything you have given us, the Bible says you have given us all things that pertain unto life and pertain unto godliness. Fear will not keep us from those things. We claim our sound mind. We claim soundness back in the name of Jesus. We claim love back. And we claim power back. Thank you for the courage to do things. The power to do new things. The courage to try new things. The courage to apply for new things. The courage to step into new places. The courage to approach new clients. The courage to step into a new place, to look for a new job, the courage to pursue a career. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for the liberation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service this afternoon, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I know that I'm a sinner.
But I do know that Jesus died for my sins. And I want to apply his blood to my life. I want to draw closer to God this afternoon. And I want to begin a relationship with God this afternoon. Today is a good day to do that. And I want to give you that opportunity. While every eye is closed, I just want you to slip up your right hand quietly. Just raise it high enough so I can see it. And I'm going to pray with you. Right where you are, I just want to pray with you. I just want to say a simple prayer with you that will help you leave here with the assurance that you are a child of God. With the assurance that if you were to die today, you will go to heaven. That if Jesus was to come today, you're one of those people who will make it with him to heaven. I want you to raise up your right hand. Is there anybody here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody here like that today? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. And cleanse me from unrighteousness. Make me a child of God. I want to live for you, Jesus. I'm not afraid to live for you. Take my life and let your will be done. I'm not afraid of the will of God for my life. I can say today, let your will be done in my life. Because you know best. And you can make better choices than I can ever make for myself. So lead me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. And let your will be done in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Everybody says, amen. Hallelujah.